morning, Adam. How are you
Hello,
doing
Jack.
Today?
I am fantastically blessed. How about that?
Wow. Holy crap. That's good. That's a good way to do it. You must have told a story to somebody here recently that kind of made you get all pumped up. Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about today. How do you tell your story? What does that even mean? When do you tell a story? Tell a story about what? Tell a story about your company, about yourself. How do you do it? When do you do it? How many people even get a chance? And when I say people, we're talking about owners of small businesses. They do have a chance, but they don't really think of it as a chance. Depends on your audience, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That's a big part of it. You know, that's you have a certain core abundance of information about yourself, about your whole life, about your company, about your dealings. What do you let out when you're meeting with different people, different constituencies, employees of your company? What do you tell them? How do you tell them? How do you do that? That's one of those how questions sneaking in again.
Yeah, those how questions are always there. Then we'll stick in a lawyer response to that, Jack. The lawyers, for those of you who don't know, but if you think about lawyers, you know, but you've never been to law school, but think about this phrase, right? Every lawyer that you know uses this phrase, and Jack and I are convinced that the first day of law school, this is one of the first things that's taught to new budding JDs here, to people who want to be lawyers, which is when somebody asks you a question, your response should be, it depends.
That's right.
It depends, right? That's like a non-response response, Jack, right? But it helps to kind of calm people down. And so because it's often appropriate, because when you ask a complex question, now, how do I tell my story? It might not seem like a complex question, Jack. It's only a handful of words. Seems pretty straightforward. But I think, as you said, as a small business owner, you may go days, weeks, months, maybe even years between telling your story. Because it's not something that, you know, I think owners necessarily search for. And they can get very good at kind of getting into a rhythm of just kind of doing things where they aren't even thinking about this kind of stuff, right?
Well, most people aren't called to tell their story. They freeze up for the most part because they don't know. It takes practice. It takes awareness. A commitment to say, geez, you know, I do have to have a certain core track here that I say pretty much everything about myself, my story, my company, myself. And, you know, but I don't let everything out all at once. I don't have one story that takes an hour and a half to say, and that's all I ever say. I give little snippets, depending on, coming back to that word again, depending on who I'm talking to and what the circumstances are. That's a very good point, Adam.
So as we were prepping for this show, we decided to go into the way, way back machine, right? And as we were talking about, you know, back before we were happily married, you know, young fellas, Jack, you know, we were out in the dating scene and I was trying to, you know, picture going up to meet that young lady for the first time. And the question becomes, yeah, what are you going to say to her? Right. Usually you had some sort of a story. You had some sort of a line, you know, what were you going to put out there? You know, are you going to lead with all the things that aren't so great about you in terms of things that are going to maybe perhaps bother her, right? Or versus, hey, you come in there with, hey, I'm going to show you my best face, put my best foot forward, so to speak, right? You know, so we've all been through that going, you know, from a very young age, or even just meeting new friends as a kids in school. Here you are, you know, or moving to a new neighborhood. You know, we're often asked, hey, what's your story? You know, where are you from? I mean, it might sound a little different. So we've all had experience of that. And depending how we've answered that, you look back in your life, you know, that determines maybe some folks that you're with. It may determine the spouse you've got or significant other that you have, your friends, in terms of how you kind of tell stuff. So as an owner, you know, some of the examples where that might come, well, one could be if you're trying to recruit some key new employee. So what's the story to that employee? You know, what do you want to say to her to bring, you know, to bring her in, to get her excited about what's kind of going on here? There's different ways to kind of go about doing that, Jack, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And certainly it depends on how old you are too. Somebody who's quite young doesn't have much of a story to tell. They got a story, but it's not much of a story. They haven't lived long enough. So you can have different situations, definitely can command different stories. There's no question about it.
So yeah, if you think about trying to recruit somebody, often you're trying to talk about what's really good, right? You aren't trying to, you know, go into details about all the problems with the company, right? You know, maybe you do a little bit, but it kind of depends on that level for that person, doesn't it? You know, to a certain extent, Jack. You know, if you're bringing somebody in who's just kind of a frontline worker who's just getting started versus a key, you know, kind of right-hand person, so to speak, kind of how you present and what you talk about are going to be a little different. So even within, again, trying to recruit an employee, what's shared and what's talked about can be very, very different. Now,
you know, I'll bet, Adam, I'll bet that most small business owners, when recruiting a new employee, possibly a new customer, they don't even their employees for a annual meeting, whatever it might be, they don't think about it until maybe the night before. And even then, for a new recruit or somebody, I bet you they don't think about it at all. For the most part, they just walk into it and sit down and start talking. And it requires, a good story requires preparation and practice, a good story. And I don't think we spend enough time practicing those as a group, as a small business owner, 25 million strong. I don't think we practice that very much. And why is that? Why isn't that looked at as being important, being able to present yourself in a way that is consistent and appropriate for the time that you know, you're covering right now?
Well, I think the short answer might be that there's a new book I'm starting to read, and the title of it kind of just grabbed me. The name of the title is called Life is Messy, Jack. A guy named Matthew Kelly, I've been following for a number of years. He's with a group called Dynamic Catholic, but it's a, you know, to me, the point is very important. Our lives are messy. Right. And that's true of whether it be our personal life or be our business life, Jack. We all have a different mess. And if you think about some people who you know, there's some people who it's a very tight vice grip on that mess, right? In terms of they don't let you in very much at all. I mean, it's rare that you'll get a peek to really what's kind of going on. Versus the opposite end of the spectrum of that, we've got some folks that who we know, Jack, who are that open book of just everything's out there. Okay. No matter what's kind of going on, everything's just kind of out there. And so what's better? Is it better to be very kind of tight knit and keep it very close to the vest? Or is it best just to kind of be everything out there? And depending who you're talking to, you know, or who you're trying to talk to, the answer is going to vary. I think in our personal experience, you know, for me, somebody who's got everything all out there, that kind of, it's interesting at first, but can be a turnoff pretty quickly. We're, you know, from a standpoint of just saying, look, we all have our messes, right? Or, you know, growing up Catholic, Jack, we all have our crosses to bear, so to speak, right? So how much of that mess do I want to hear about for you, Jack, versus, you know, tell me some of the good stuff or focus on the things that are really kind of key. And so I think many folks are just kind of, their style is that certain way. So either they're very kind of tight-lipped or they're just kind of very open. And I think we see a lot of that stuff online. You see, the different social medias I've had discussions, Jack, over the years that we're amazed at what people will talk about or share. And, you know, the idea being, well, why are you doing this? Why are you sharing this? What are you trying to accomplish with this?
Well, they aren't thinking about it, right? They aren't putting themselves in perspective. So they just ramble, uncomfortable in situations, so they'll talk even more, you know, and to sit silently with somebody for a while and have long pauses. Most people go absolutely nuts with being in those kind of situations.
But it could be a great thing, Jack. Now, we've seen it, like we had a client years ago that became a client of ours because he got invited to lunch by his banker. And he wasn't sure what to say because he knew he had his line of credit coming due and he wasn't sure what to say. So he wanted to talk to us and say, hey, what do I do? What do I say? What do I not say? All of a sudden, it created tremendous fear and panic. Now, this is somebody who'd been in business for a couple decades, Jack. A couple decades. And yet here it is, striking fear in terms of what's kind of going on. So yeah, when you get that call from your bank, so what do you talk to the banker about? I mean, what does the banker know? I mean, at the end of the day, Jack, often the banker is getting your financials. So don't they kind of know everything because all of a sudden they're seeing your numbers? I know as we often talk to the small business owners, Jack, they're afraid of putting their numbers out there. whether it be to the bankers or to the people or anything else. So again, people are often very afraid of that. And what am I going to say to not spook the banker? Maybe as we've talked a lot here recently, Jack, maybe you've gotten that phone call or that letter from somebody who's interested in perhaps investing in, or perhaps maybe looking at buying your company. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
Those
are pretty common today, aren't they? Well, from our experience, they're common today.
Well, the most common response to that we see, Jack, is that they ignore it, right? They'll take that letter and stuff it somewhere, or that email and file it somewhere, or that voicemail, they'll save it, but they aren't responding to it. They aren't sure.
That's a great example. That's right. They aren't sure. They don't know. And so they rationalize. They don't throw it away because they know it could be important, but they don't know how to evaluate it. So they put it in a desk drawer somewhere. And how often have we found that desk drawer, when I open it up, there are six or seven letters in there that have come through the years.
Sure. Many of those letters, Jack, look like the Constitution, right? They're kind of yellow and faded or ripped because they've been in there for years or maybe decades. The people who sent those letters probably, aren't in business anymore or may not even be alive anymore, So, but they've got it. They've got that.
Yeah,
letter.
When I get ready to sell this company, I got it. I got somebody I can call. I still don't know how to talk to them or present my story, but I got somebody to call.
All right, so forget about all these crazy bankers or investors or potential buyers. Let's keep it real simple. Now, as things have opened back up now, Jack, post-COVID, folks are getting together again, and we're having, family functions and picnics and different things like that. So how about, just maybe it's your brother-in-law, or heaven forbid, your spouse is asking, hey, how are things going? Right? How are things going? So what's your response to that? I think many of us just have I'll call it a canned response. It's almost like you would say, oh, things are okay. And they kind of just move on versus pausing and saying, well, how do I want to respond to that? What part of the story do I want to share with this person? And as you're sharing with them, the question becomes, again, are we trying to inform this person? Are we trying to influence the person? Are we trying to maybe get their input on stuff? Can they help us in some way? And so, again, it's, you get that very simple question. Well, how are things going? Right, or what's going on? Or how's business? Right, we'll often get that kind of question, Jack. How's business? Very simple, almost innocuous question. It's almost like when people ask you, "How you doing?" Well, I'm okay. It's almost kind of this like a start of the conversation versus like, well, should I really answer that question? Well, do I really tell them what's kind of going on? Do I tell them that we just lost our biggest customer, Jack, or that a key employee that left? Do I tell them that, or do I just smile and say everything's great?
That's what most people do, don't they? They say it's great. They put a great spin on it. One step out of bankruptcy, and they're still great. But that kind of gets through the moment. It answers the question, and it gets through the moment. Oh, how are you doing? Right. I'm doing great, too. So two people doing great.
Isn't that one of your favorite books back in the day? I'm okay, you're okay, right?
That's right. That's right.
So we aren't exchanging any information at all. We aren't really presenting. We aren't really telling. We aren't really telling our story at all. We aren't doing it. And so how do we help owners get through that? How do we, because again, it's something that, like we're saying, you have to almost kind of be ready for it at a moment's notice, be ready to kind of go and present and talk about it and be able to kind of tell your story and share your story. So I think what you're alluding to a little earlier, Jack, is you might want to have maybe different versions of that story. So,
yes.
If I have a reporter call, right? Maybe that doesn't happen very often, but maybe you get a reporter calling, asking for stuff. Holy cow, what do you say? All right, it's like when the police come knocking on your door. Okay, what do you say? And you have different thoughts kind of racing through your head. So
no, it comes back to your, it depends, right? It depends on the circumstance. You have a core stream of data about your company and the spin you put on it, if that's what you want to call it, basically depends on the circumstances. So if you're trying to win over a woman, if you're trying to talk to a cop, if you're in the middle of something you don't want to be in the middle of, how do you find the right track to run on? Well, you got to know your company, basically. You got to practice presenting your company in different ways. First of all, the first thing is to be aware that this is a big deal. You can sway a lot of stuff if you know how to really talk about your company. Sway it.
Sway. I like that's a great word, Jack. Sway. I'm picturing swaying in the wind. No, again, because you can picture being on, like, you know, on a bench or a swing, and we're swaying in the wind. And so, yeah, people will influence you, or they'll push you and stuff. And so, and one of the things that we'll guide our clients on, and you've heard it on this show a bunch of times, is our seven keys to success, Jack. You know, when we talk about the idea, we'll often use that phrase in terms of, well, how do you talk business? Right. So again, that it comes back to that. So as you look at our seven keys to success, those are the points. Now the question becomes, again, which of those seven keys do you share, and at what level do you share it? Right. So, you know, starting with the vision, where is this company going? So, you know, so what do you talk about? And how is what's going on today kind of plug into what you're trying to do from that vision standpoint, versus if all of a sudden, as we mentioned before, if all of a sudden you're having a cash pinch and your banker calls you to lunch, well, what do you talk to your banker about? Well, I've got a person in front of me here, Jack, my banker, who has money, right? So if I'm having a cash flow issue, couldn't the banker perhaps be a solution for me somehow, some way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you should be able to sway him or her.
Right. It's a matter of how you tell your story, right? Because at the end of the day, understanding what their position is, you know, often the banker who you're talking to isn't going to be able to decide, you know, herself what's going to happen, but they, you know, she might be going back to a committee or going back to the people at the bank to be able to kind of share your story. So how you tell your story to her, and then how that story gets told, you know, to that person. Because what happens is, let me tell you a very simple story, you know, in terms of, because what sticks with people, right? So my wife and I were having some discussions recently, and she was asking kind of how things were kind of going about stuff. And I made a comment, and this is often what happens, Jack. Usually you make a comment during whether it be a 30-second or 30-minute discussion, and often one phrase will stick with them, right? And so I was trying to be gentle, you know, as I think I'm being gentle at times, you know, given our different styles. We, you know, she's kind of IS style, so she's a little more sensitive to stuff. And I can be very blunt if I'm, you know, kind of more my C style, or if, yeah, I dabble in the D realm once in a while, you know, not so well, as you know, Jack, but I try to be gentle with stuff. And so I was kind of telling her how I saw things kind of going. And what came out of it is I kind of basically said, hey, we were hanging out with some friends recently who have a 4-year-old. Okay. And our kids are older now. They're 18 and 15, Jack. And so I said, it's great that we had some time with our friends. It reminded me what it's like to be with a 4-year-old again. Right. And she goes, are you calling me a 4-year-old? I said, well, I said, how you're acting in a certain situation. I said, yeah, that's what I was calling you, a 4-year-old. Right. And so as you might imagine, this kept, you know, it was also kind of a passing comment. You know, it wasn't something that I was kind of like, here's the answer. Right. But yet that stuck. And for the next week, Jack, that comment kept coming back. That 4-year-old thing, you know, stuck in her brain, that, you know, she found all kinds of reasons of, like, well, here, I is this an example of me acting like a 4-year-old? I'm thinking, well, the fact that you're just asking me that is kind of saying yes, right? But the same thing. So again, come back to her, you know, that lunch with the banker. So all of a sudden, if you say, oh my, we're going out of business, right? And you have another, you know, or if some phrase like that kind of comes out amongst an hour discussion over lunch, what's going to stick in the craw of that banker?
Sure.
The stuff you talked about for an hour, or just that one phrase, all of a sudden, you know, that same version of, you know, kind of being called a 4-year-old, right? So what do you want that person to hear? And so as we start talking about this, I can see why folks, Jack, will often just clam up and just.
How do you prepare, Adam? How do you prepare for that meeting? You got to prepare, but most of us don't all the time, for sure. You wing it. You walk in and meet somebody for the first time, and okay, what do you say? What do you talk about? What do you tell your? How do you tell your story?
Right.
So there's got to be versions to fit the occasion. You got to have probably two or three core stories that you versions of the main long hour and a half lecture on your story. It depends. Again, that you clear the deck with that word. It depends.
Right. Well, we love it. You know, like, we know we've invited a lot of entrepreneurs onto our show over the years, and we'll have more coming up. And it's always fun to invite them onto the show and ask them to share their story. And almost without fail, you'll see them kind of sit back. What do you mean my story? Like, why do you want to hear my story? Like, what's so special about my story? And often people don't even know. And so, well, hey, you mentioned this or that, or but there's again, there's often some very good nuggets that are in there that we need to kind of figure out. So to your point, Jack, you know, what things do you want to make sure that you highlight and talk about? What things are relevant in terms of what's kind of gotten you where you are today? And in terms of what's going to happen in the future, that's what it comes down to. What are you trying to accomplish? What are you trying to be able to do, whether it be with your business or with your, you know, with yourself personally? And so it's being very clear in terms of what we're trying to accomplish here, and also who we're talking to. So our very short answer of, well, it depends. Again, it depends who we're talking to and what we're trying to accomplish in terms of what's part of the stories that we're going to share. So you have a personal story, Jack. You also have your company has a story. And so part of it is, you know, is trying to meld those together.
Sure, sure.
What's kind of going on. But it comes down to, well, your story is what it is. Okay, so we are where we are. Now the question is, okay, where are we trying to go? So that should be part of that pathway in terms of, okay, well, here's where I am. Mm-hmm. So whether I'm sitting at lunch with my banker, whether I'm trying to recruit that new employee, or whether I'm responding to that potential acquirer here, eventually I have to go say, well, here's where things are kind of going. All right, where they've been is great, but that's only important in terms of, well, what's it done for you in terms of where you're going next. And so you'd be able to kind of look at the future and say, here's where I see things going. So from a business standpoint, what does that mean? Well, again, coming back to the seven keys, Jack. So, hey, how's this year looking? When somebody asks you that, if a banker asks you that, or a potential investor asks you that, how's this year looking? Well, they want to know, are you profitable? Are you going to be profitable? How profitable are you going to be? How does that compare to where you were last year? How does that compare to what you were thinking you were going to do? Right? All of a sudden, there's a lot of kind of questions that kind of go with that. Well, I'm going to guess your brother-in-law may not necessarily care about that level, Jack, when he's asking you kind of how are things kind of going. Now, with him, maybe you're going to complain about an employee problem that you've got because, you know, it's, you know, you just need to vent to somebody and this is a safe place to vent and it's never going to go anywhere, right? Versus that same employee you want to vent about, well, you're going to talk to the banker about that employee? Because what's the banker going to say? Well, what are you going to do about it, right? As we often say, Jack, well, hey, you're the boss, aren't you? I mean, can't you do something about that problem employee? So if all you're doing is complaining BMW, remember the BMW club we referenced before from our buddy Joe Tai? Remember what the BMW stands for?
No, I forgot.
Bitchers, moaners, and whiners.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Right.
So are you part of the BMW club? Because if you are, maybe that's part of the issue. If all of a sudden you're sitting looking around and you don't have some good people around you, well, what's consistent there, Jack? You're consistent, yep. Right? So, and it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It's just saying, well, how you telling the story? Or are you making it interesting for people? Are you making it exciting for people that they want to be part of what you're doing? That they want to be part of your story too, Jack.
That rolls up under the, inspiring and motivating your employees. You're trying to put the right spin on the discussion you're having with whoever, whatever the objective is of meeting with this person. You want the right feel for it. So you let out information accordingly. You don't want to be a negative whiner. You don't want to be that way for sure. You want a certain image to project to this person. And to be honest and to be fairly articulate with what's going on, it's your company, so you should be able to make it any way you want to. But you got to think about it. And most people don't.
It's a good point, Jack. We aren't saying, hey, you got to make stuff up or be misleading. It's what part do you want to share? What part do you want to put out there? What are you trying again? And what are you trying to accomplish with that? So from our standpoint, we'll always point to our clients to the seven keys. And obviously, key seven, Jack, is the presenting. That's the how do you tell your story part, right? And so as you look at the other six keys, you know, you probably want to touch on all those keys. The question is, you know, how much do you kind of delve into those from that standpoint in terms of what's really kind of going on and the person who's in front of you, right? So again, I'll come back to the banker. Well, key number six, Jack, is cash flow. So if I know I have a cash flow issue, I'm talking to a banker. Well, guess what? Let's talk about the cash flow issue, but also I need to be able to talk to that banker about my profit plan. Well, how are things going to turn around? Or If I need to borrow money from you, Jack, as a banker, I need to be able to also explain to you how I'm going to pay that money back. versus going, hey, I got a hole here and you got money, so just give me some money, Jack, right? And don't worry, I'll pay back. I'm always good for it. I'm always, you know, again, you know, I'll write you an IOU, right? I'm good for it. Well, you know, you got to be able to explain to them in terms of not only how much you need, what it's going to be used for, and then how it's going to get paid back. So that would be going, again, from a cash forecast to having the profit plan piece of it, right?
Well, you gotta understand who your audience is here and how they hear and what they could do to enhance their business. You know, they want to make you feel good. They want you to be successful. They'd like to lend you money, but you got to help them. And the best way to help them is to be confident in your presentation and be relevant with what you're talking about. Those are two big keys.
Absolutely, Jack. Now maybe your brother-in-law, let's go to your brother-in-law. Now, maybe your brother-in-law is a recruiter. So, okay, so maybe that's the person you talk to about some of your people issues. Hey, I'm trying to find people here. And again, depending who you're talking to, you can get help with your organization plan. All right, that's key number four, organization plan, in terms of finding your people, bringing them in, training them, everything else. So again, if you have a brother-in-law who's a recruiter, well, that's somebody who's out in the marketplace trying to find people. And, you know, the stuff he talks about, you know, will be tremendously valuable to you perhaps. So maybe focus on with him in terms of what's kind of going on. You may want to understand, okay, what's something like what he does cost. And maybe that's something, maybe whether you need him or somebody like him to be able to help you recruit some, you know, some key people. But be able to understand what that looks like and what's that impact going to be on my profit plan. So if you have the seven keys in mind, that's one of the things we try to reinforce to our clients all the time, Jack, that it's that very calming presence. And when somebody's asking my kind of question, okay, so which of those, you know, going through in their mind, which of these seven keys should I be talking about? And how do I kind of weave that story together in terms of to be able to answer their question? Because if that person can help you, and if somebody who knows, likes, and trusts you, that person probably wants to help you. Well, it's incumbent upon us to be able to tell our story the right way, that they can know how to help us and want to help us.
That's right. That's right. So that's what you're trying to achieve.
So story time, Jack. I mean, I think that maybe sends many of us back to our early days of preschool and that, right? Where you come out and we got story time. We all sit around in a, you know, in a circle. Or if, you know, maybe it's when you're, you know, you're first meeting, you know, folks in school or you're that new person. We've had to tell our story. And I think some of us naturally will gravitate towards that. We'll be more talkers anyway. And some of us aren't very good at it. Maybe we've never gotten very good at it. Well, I don't say unfortunately, but as an owner of a small business, Jack, that's part of what you signed up for, is to be able to kind of tell your story. And we can tell that how far somebody goes or how far they don't go is often related to how well they tell their story or don't tell their story and who they tell it to. And so that's one of the things that we see with our clients, Jack, where they start to get their confidence up tremendously because they understand how to talk business, how to tell their story, how to kind of do that in a way that's going to be influential and helpful for their business. And to keep it very simple, very those good. Seven keys is a good way to kind of that's be able right. to do that.
In a nutshell, that's it, Adam. That's it. All seven right. keys are miraculous. But they are. On, I won't talk. No, we won't talk seven keys today.
Now we'll include a link in our show notes as we always do. But that's what we want to kind of talk about. So it's telling your story. So as you're thinking about this, and if you think about, you know, look over the next month or so in terms of different meetings you've got coming up or different events that are coming up, and think about different ways to tell your story. You know, Jack, I think you have a great idea in terms of, hey, let's figure out two or three or four stories in terms of how we want to tell stories. And within those stories, there's probably going to be some commonality amongst that. Maybe 20% is common, but the other 80% might be very different, depending, again, who you're talking to and what you're trying to accomplish. Right. But having those stories kind of ready to go is helpful. And then also finding somebody you can kind of do a dry run with. All right. So I spent some of my younger years in theater, Jack. And you know, you don't just go up on stage and start, you know, doing the show. You've got hours and hours and hours of practice, right, of doing this kind of stuff. And so as owners, I think you mentioned this before, Jack, we just kind of show up and start doing it, right? So they often, who needs practice? Let's kind of jump right in. Well, something like this, it's helpful to kind of practice it. And so there's different ways sure. to do that. There's different ways to do that, you know, and there's all sorts of groups out there, different ways you can get involved, whether it be things like Toastmasters or even like groups like BNI. You have ways you're going to force yourself to kind of get up and kind of tell your stories. But it's one thing that you should be doing as an owner, you know, for your own personal leadership development to kind of be able to do those kind of things. It's important, I think, to be able to know how to tell your story and do it very, very well.
Very good. Very good, all right. Adam.
All right. Enough storytelling for this morning, Jack. So that's the show for the week. Appreciate y'all being here and listening. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. You can also check out our Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you've got a smart device and listen to podcasts, whatever podcast player you use, whether it be iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, we're on most of those major podcasts. You can go there and subscribe to it. We usually drop a new episode every Thursday morning, so we deliver right there to your smartphone. If you can leave a review, that'd be fantastic. If you have any comments, questions for us, you can get us in a couple ways. One is you can email us, radio@maximumvp.com, or give us a call, 877-849-0670. Next week, you can tune in. We're going to talk about a question of how do I know what to focus on next? How do I know what to focus on next? As an owner, you got a lot of things coming at you every day and things vying for your attention. How do you decide what to focus on next to help kind of move your business forward? So we'll talk more about that next week. Be sure to tune in for that. That's our show for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with y'all next week.
See you, Adam.